Ready to level up your world? Get the MetaQuest 3S, available now at Harvey Norman. With a lightweight and wireless design, you can transform any room into a theater, playground, or hangout spot with friends. Enjoy lightning-fast load times and improved battery life, and the power to blend virtual objects with your physical space, so you can experience two worlds at once. MetaQuest 3, starting at $498 at Harvey Norman.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 5th of March 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.4% to 8,940 points. We'll have the details with Robert Tilewski from Activam in a few moments. But first, petrol prices aren't the only thing Australia's consumer watchdog is keeping an eye on as the war in the Middle East escalates. Airfares are also being monitored. But the ACCC has warned airfares will likely rise in coming years anyway, as airports seek to recoup costs associated with massive investments by passing them on to airlines. Collectively, they've spent $1.5 billion on improvements last financial year on things like expansion and terminal upgrades, with another $20 billion worth planned over the next decade. So for more, Stephanie Youssef spoke with the ACCC Commissioner, Anna Brakey.
So Anna, airport infrastructure spending has jumped 43%. Why could that ultimately mean higher airfares for travellers?
The airports charge airlines typically on a per passenger basis. As the airports are spending more, we expect that they will try to increase their charges to the airlines, and we expect that the airlines will try to pass that through to the travelling public through higher airfares. Airlines to use the airport, there's typically runway fees and also terminal fees, so fees for passengers to use the terminals. Their costs that the airlines incur, and then they try to recover those costs through the airfares.
With almost $20 billion in airport upgrades planned over the next decade, how much more could we see those airfares rise by potentially?
$20 billion is a really big capital expenditure amount for the airports to be spending. And we do expect that that will end up in higher airfares. It's unclear at this stage exactly how much that will cost. It will depend ultimately on what's built and the passenger numbers, etc. But what we do know is that those airports have strong market power within their geographic area, and that means that they can charge higher fees. We're seeing very profitable airports at the moment.
Now, in terms of the situation that's unfolding in the Middle East, you're keeping an eye on petrol prices. Are you also keeping an eye on airfares?
We do have a domestic airline monitoring report, but it is the case that we are keeping a close eye on what's going on in the Middle East, both in terms of petrol prices and the aviation industry. What I would recommend to customers, to people with tickets, is that they hold on to their tickets and deal with their current airlines to try to reschedule if they can. If they cancel those tickets, they might lose their consumer rights associated with their fares.
Are you concerned that airports or airlines could try to profit off the situation in the Middle East?
What's most important at the moment is that customers travel safely to where they need to get to, and that there's a backlog of people wanting to get to their destination. At the moment, it's just important that customers deal with their airlines for their existing
market power. Do you think the current monitoring framework is strong enough, and what needs to be done to make airfares fairer?
We do think that the airports hold profits that result in higher airfares, and also that the very large capital expenditure program that they've got planned, that it reflects what customers value and what they're willing to pay, and that they're not gold-plated.
And car parking prices at airports remain extremely high, with margins above
significant profits out of their car parking. It's something that we keep a pretty close eye on. What I would encourage customers to do is to look around. There might be some car parks that are relatively close that might offer shuttle transport to the airport, or look at alternative ways to get to the airport. Another thing that customers can do is, if they are getting picked up by family or friends, to look into the free waiting
time. Remains appropriate, and that airports have not systematically exercised their market power. Brisbane Airport additionally said that airport charges represent a relatively small proportion of the overall cost of an airline ticket, accounting for less than 10%. Okay, let's go to the Australian share market now. The S&P ASX 200 rose up 0.4%, rebounding from yesterday's $63 billion wipeout. That's despite a number of mining stocks going ex-dividend today, including BHP. Strong US economic data reignited hopes of a rate cut there, so tech stocks did well. WiseTech up more than 7%. CSL climbed 2.5% after its US unit secured a Canada supply deal for vaccines. Refiners did particularly well. Viva Energy up 12%, Ampol up 9%. That's on reports China instructed its main oil refiners to suspend diesel and gasoline exports, and it comes as China set its lowest growth target since 1991 at between 4.5% and 5%. The previous couple of years, the country managed to target 5% annual growth. So for more on the day's market news, I spoke with Robert Tilewski from Activam.
Yeah, generally speaking, I think investors had a slightly different sentiment sort of view, given obviously the recent volatility we've had in from the geopolitical events in the Middle East. BHP was down today, but again, it was ex-dividend. We saw Fortescue Mining up about 1.5%, and Rio was also up about 0.5%. Overnight, the S&P 500 was up about 0.5% in the US. The NASDAQ, the tech sort of focused NASDAQ, was up about 1.3%. And also the global small caps were also about up 1.3%. Some interesting news around activity and expansion. The ISM services PMI is an indicator of essentially services expansion. That was up to 56.5% in February. Anything over 50 is an indication that essentially that means expansion. So from that perspective, that's a good news story from an economic standpoint.
So which sectors are doing well and why?
Yeah, so the tech sector recovered. WiseTech was up, and also Xero was up as well. And they've sort of suffered a lot of heavy selling in recent weeks. And the banks as well, they were up, mostly up more than 1%.
So what about the war in the Middle East then? Does that mean it's fallen out of the minds of investors?
It still is, although what's quite surprising is the fact that we haven't seen much of an impact to markets. One factor of that is, I think, due to the fact that, you know, the US is a net exporter of energy, so it's not really reliant anymore as it was in the past. So that's actually a positive from their perspective. So another thing as well, earnings are a very important driver of equity markets. That hasn't been impacted by a lot of these geopolitical risks as well. So that's why it's another thing, I guess, with respect to markets, that they're sort of looking past that as well. Probably the one key thing is the oil price and the potential of, any spike in oil on CPI. That currently is sort of been negated in recent days. But if we do see a spike and an effect on CPI, that could have a negative effect on, CPI expectations going forward.
You mentioned earlier that economic data coming out of the US, which may imply rate cuts to continue there. What about here in Australia? We saw some household spending numbers out of the ABS today, suggested that spending has continued to rise but has slowed. What does that mean for the Reserve Bank?
So we are seeing a bit of a different sort of journey with respect to the RBA and the Fed. So as you pointed out, the US is continuing on a sort of a rate cut trajectory. Probably one or two more rate cuts. Here in Australia, the opposite. We're sort of expecting one, maybe two more rate increases. But at the same time, I think from that perspective, we saw those numbers come out on the consumer. It could actually be good for the RBA, because a softer consumer means they might sort of reset their policy stance, where they might actually at least stay sort of the same, or maybe look to cut rates going forward.
And Robert, finally, what are you telling your investors right now and where do you see the opportunities?
Stay invested. We still like overseas markets relative to domestic markets. Here in Australia, obviously, with respect to the increasing rate environment, sectors like mid-caps and small-caps are probably, impacted in a negative way, so we prefer the larger caps. But globally, given that we're still seeing that rate cut cycle, the small caps, the mid caps and the emerging market sectors, we think, are going to continue to do well going forward.
Robert Tulevsky from Activan wrapping up the podcast for this Thursday. Give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you enjoy it, click subscribe. I'm taking a few days off. I think Stephanie Youssef might be filling in for me. Otherwise, we'll chat on Tuesday.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Ready to level up your world? Get the MetaQuest 3S, available now at Harvey Norman. With a lightweight and wireless design, you can transform any room into a theatre, playground, or hangout spot with friends. Enjoy lightning-fast load times and improved battery life, and the power to blend virtual objects with your physical space, so you can experience two worlds at once. MetaQuest 3, starting at $498 at Harvey Norman. Go!